Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Almost live from the trenches of New York City, here are your middle-aged warriors, Chris Cimino and Rick Summers.
Hey, welcome to Middle-Aged Warriors. We're a little bit older than we were the last time we spoke, but welcome to show number 58. I'm Rick Summers, and that guy over there, good-looking one, is Chris Cimino. Hey,
where?
How are you?
There's a good-looking guy in the room?
You.
I'm good. How are you? How are you? You.
Chris looks so good. He still looks so young. He's so handsome.
Oh, please.
You're
preserved. I'm preserved in olive oil. It's from all the olive oil and garlic.
I was going to say, it's olive oil and formaldehyde, right?
I wish I felt
anyway,
this good.
Welcome on board to show number 58. Hard to believe Memorial Day is in our rearview mirror. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend.
It was an ugly one.
Valerie, my wife, says, you know, once July 4th comes, summer is pretty much over.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, July 4th is like, it's not that many weeks away, is it?
Well, I don't believe
how quickly this year is going by.
I don't buy into that 4th of July, the summer's over. To me, it's kind of almost just beginning. You have a whole month of July and August. So I'm going to poo-poo Valerie's theory of the 4th of July means the summer is over. But something that had come up a little bit, we talked about it briefly in, I guess, our last show, because I was cleaning out the house that I finally sold after 23, 24 years of living in it and raising a family in it. We're talking about stuff today.
Stuff.
Yeah. You know about stuff.
Oh, stuff is everywhere. I mean, it is literally everywhere. And
yeah.
The problem is we accumulate stuff that at a rate that is just hard to even fathom. I mean, and it does accumulate. So now that we're getting older, we're both in our 60s, sorry to say that. What do we do with all this stuff that
stuff
we've been accumulating for all these years?
Yeah, because you can't take the stuff with you. Yeah, and it is overwhelming.
What's that great line you told me from the Denzel Washington movie?
Denzel Washington said something, you never see a U-Haul following a hearse. And it's kind of true. I mean, you know, it's too late for that. So
it is true.
Yeah, it's kind of true. But you came across a bit that I had forgotten about, and I just want to play a little bit of it for our listeners, the George Carlin stuff bit. So before we bring in our guest, let's have a listen to this.
I would have been out here a little bit sooner, but they gave me the wrong dressing room, and I couldn't find any place to put my stuff. And I don't know how you are, but I need a place to put my stuff. So that's what I've been doing back here, just trying to find a place for my stuff. You know how important that is. That's the whole meaning of life, isn't it? Trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is. Your house is just a place for your stuff. If you didn't have so much goddamn stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. That's all your house is. It's a pile of stuff with a cover on it. You see, you take off on an airplane and you look down and you see everybody's got a little pile of stuff. Everybody's got their own pile of stuff. And when you leave your stuff, you gotta lock it up. We want somebody to come by and take some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff. They don't bother with that crap you're saving. Ain't nobody interested in your fourth grade arithmetic papers. They're looking for that good stuff. That's all your house is. It's a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Now, sometimes you've got to move. You got to get a bigger house. Why? Too much stuff. You got to move all your stuff. And maybe put some of your stuff in storage. Imagine that. There's a whole industry based on keeping an eye on your stuff.
What's that?
Well, I was going to say, and what could be more true for a couple of guys? I mean, think about you know, all the years that you worked in media and got t-shirts and got so much quote unquote free stuff over the years. And yet it's really hard to part with it.
No,
I still have a t-shirt from my first radio job back in 1979, WTKO in Ithaca, New York. I still have that t-shirt and I can't part with it. What the hell is wrong with me?
No, I have t-shirts from my WNEP days in Scranton, from WLWT in Cincinnati. I have my old softball shirts, uniform shirts, when we were the Clash City Rockers. We named ourselves after the band The Clash because we were badasses. But I look at these, and it's sort of like, how do I get rid of this, though? It's so cool. But it's like, what am I going to do with all this stuff?
Yeah, and ultimately, and I hate to say this, it becomes somebody else's problem because luckily you have kids,
right?
Luckily or not. But right. The point being that you know, that when Nancy passed away a few years ago, and you guys lived in a house for what, 30 years?
No, about 20, about 24 years.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff.
Hey, want to take a minute for one of our sponsors, Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, okay. So we've got a guest. We've got a guest who's going to talk more about stuff because somebody who's actually going through the process as we speak. So we're going to get to Steven Steinhaus, your cousin, right?
Yes, my cousin, and I'm really proud to bring him on. He is a PhD psychologist. He works for a company called HR Alignment. He's based out of Chicago, but he came back to New York because he has to empty the house he grew up in of all the stuff from back in the, you know, back in the day.
Okay.
And his mom just recently passed away, so he's now going through a lot of stuff. And I cannot believe it has taken me this long to reach into my family brains and be able to rely on somebody who is far more educated, a little bit older, but also a middle-aged warrior. And that is my cousin, Steven, who comes to us via Zoom, is in from Chicago, where Steven lives with his wife and is come back to Long Island to deal with nothing else other than stuff. Because Steven's mom, Steven, that would be my aunt, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You're doing the math again, are you?
see how quickly I catch on.
I'm telling you,
he's the one with the PhD, and I just have I have MSW in very small letters. But Stephen, it's so great to have you, and welcome to Middle Age Warriors. How's middle age treating you?
Yeah, pretty good. I do whatever I can to, as I often refer to it, retard old age. So I do whatever I possibly can within my control.
Stephen, first of all, I want to send my condolences to you as well, Stephen, for the passing of your mom. And I know what that process is like, that you're undergoing to a degree, at least right now. Now, you've been back here in New York. How long in the process of trying to get things together and get rid of stuff, I guess?
Yeah, I'm de-stuffing, right. So I think I arrived back in New York on April 24th.
Wow.
And I've been working pretty much on the house at least 5 days a week, about 10 to 12 hours a day.
Full-time job.
It really is. And as I've turned 66, I'm pulling back on work a bit and using this time to do this. And in a way, it has its functional elements of clearing out the house, but also gives me an opportunity to revisit my past and go through the artifacts of my family history, both good and bad.
Let me ask you what the biggest surprise in going through all this stuff is.
Well, it's every day there are new surprises. So I can't say that there's a biggest surprise. I mean, I find, you know, as I refer to it, family artifacts reveal things that I perhaps never knew before. So that's obviously surprising. I find other artifacts that kind of refresh my memory, bring things to life in ways that I haven't revisited in many years. And also, I guess, on a more functional level, how much work it's all been. It has been a lot of work, as I just said, somebody physically, intellectually, and emotionally.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I found. And obviously, you were a little more, again, maybe with the PhD, you approached it a little more intellectually and figuring out how much time you're going to need to clear out the house, because I underestimated my process. And I was in that home for just shy of 24 years. How long did your family live in that home?
So we moved in. So yeah, I think Rick said I'm 66. So we moved in when I was about 6 months old.
Wow.
So 1955, the house was built and we moved.
Wow.
Here.
Wow. So
that's a lot of stuff to accumulate. And has it been hard to part with things that you've come across and said, I have no real use for this. I have no real room for it. I'm going to call we've got junk. And I hate to refer to it as junk, but that is kind of the catchphrase in 2021. Is it hard to let go of some of that stuff?
Challenging on a number of levels. One of which is I feel my mother is looking down. if I throw some, we used to joke when she was alive that she used to say, well, you're just going to get a container and put it on a, you know, driveway and throw everything in it. And I used to say, you're right, Mom, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
Yard sale.
Yeah, but that said, I've been extraordinarily diligent about making sure that everything finds a new home, because it's the thing she worked for. And that meant a lot to her, with the exception of the piles of things. She believed in reuse. So she had piles of bubble wrap that were about, about a foot and a half, 2 feet high. And that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure there are certain things there that obviously can go, but is there anything in particular, because I know for me, I had a certain level of sentimentality from object to handwritten things, the things that were much more personal. Do you find it sort of easier to part with some things as opposed to others in terms of categorically?
The hardest thing, without a doubt, to deal with are, you know, a bit of a sentimental old fool. So the hardest thing to deal with are photographs. And I'm finding photographs, the likes of which I have never seen, family photographs, part of which, Rick, you know, you'd be very interested in seeing, because they contain, you know, parts of our family history. So the photographs are hard. Letters, I'm a real sap when it comes to that.
Yep.
So correspond, things I've sent her, birthday cards and that sort of thing. I always made it a point to write what I thought to be meaningful greeting cards. They tend to be long, so I've got a box of them. On the other hand, there's a sentimentality of things like the little yellow table that I had when I was a child, and I thought about as I was making a decision as to what to do with it, about all the things I used to do with it. I spent a lot of time at that little yellow table coloring, but part of which, you know, creating. So that was my original, you know, artwork, if you will. My original creativity came out on that table. My wife said, well, you probably should, you know, bring that back. I said, well, for what purpose?
Right, right.
She said at one point, well, maybe you could hang that. It had an interesting pattern on top onto the wall. Maybe you can do that. And I thought, at the end of the day, I thought there is some, it is functional at this point to let go. And at this point, just rely on the richness of my memories rather than keeping all this stuff.
You know, it's really funny. I have a superstition. You were talking about the accumulation of pictures, Stephen, and of course, everything we now have digitally, theoretically, on the phone or in the cloud or wherever. I can't find anything. But the truth of the matter is, I feel for years I felt this way, that I cannot rip up or throw out a picture of somebody who is still alive, because I'm superstitious and I feel like that would be, what's the term in Yiddish, Stephen? Is it Kanahara?
Right.
It means it would bring bad luck and a black cloud.
Yeah, there are photos. I agonized over certain photos, but ultimately, for reasons such as you're suggesting, I kept them all, and I have boxes of photos. And we were not a big photo family, so I can imagine what other families have. And I, with my family, I'm a very big photo family, but there is the cloud for that. And my daughter will have to deal with a gazillion photos.
Well, somebody had suggested to me that with some of those things to take, you know, with our phones today and take a digital image of it, and at least you preserve it in that sense. But to be honest, when it comes to pictures, because they're a little bit easier to store, they don't take up all that much space per se compared to some other things. I did not part with any of them. I don't know what will happen with them ultimately, but there is something about that. In removing a picture, it feels like you're really just removing that person and that existence. Do you find that getting rid of some of the things, the whole process to me sort of felt like going through these series of mini funerals every couple of days and going through that mourning process again? That's what really made it so exhausting emotionally to me. I don't know if you're finding that as you go through this.
Without a doubt. And oddly enough, at this point, in terms of the massive amount of stuff in the house, which it's taken me a while to do things about, I'm finally getting to a point after all this time of clearing a good portion of the house. Yesterday, I felt like maybe I'm 99% done. But to that point, to the point you made, Chris, I really do feel a void. And there is a sense of, you know, a mournful kind of feeling.
Sure.
Hey, I want to tell you about our very adult sponsor, that is Adam and Eve. You know, free stuff is awesome, but free stuff to spice up your bedroom is even better. Select almost any one item for 50% off, and then Adam and Eve loads on the free stuff. Enter offer code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout and get 10 tantalizing free gifts. A sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item that you'll both enjoy. And there's 6 free spicy movies as well, plus free shipping. So that's BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. That's the offer code BLEAV at checkout at adamandeve.com.
So I used to refer to my mother as pathologically cheap. And in recent years, however, I've slightly altered that to understand it to be pathologically frugal as a function of the fact that the parents came here without a penny in their pocket, didn't know the language. Her and her sister lived in a living room of that apartment. That's where they grew up. Our parents on our father's side of the family, Rick, the mother was known to use every part of the chicken, including chicken feet. That is indeed part of where it all makes sense as to why there are so many bottle tops all throughout the house, right?
Yeah, and there's also that notion that you never know if you're going to need it someday.
Never know if you could need it. And in terms of stuff, of course, there's the simplistic but brilliant kind of philosophy. If you haven't used it or you don't anticipate using it in the next 2 to 3 years, buy a new one. And that I've had to learn. And in fact, Chris, to a point you made earlier, has made it a lot easier to, you know, these are just things. The memories will stay, the photographs will stay. Mm-hmm. But as far as the things go, we can repurchase them, unless they're, you know, some sort of irreplaceable artifact. To answer your question, there is one that I'm looking at right now. It's a bit of an irreplaceable artifact. It's this Louis XV writing desk that we wouldn't use anymore, but I have having a real hard time letting go of that. It's 200 years old. And if you've ever seen a movie, The Red Violin, it as I saw it and recall it, it occurs to me that, like The Red Violin, this is seen. This has been a part of many different stages in life. And I'm having a real hard time figuring out what to do with that.
Yeah, I think when something tugs at you that way, that strongly, at least for me personally, I tried to figure out how to make it happen. I had two items that I had to take. One was a piano that my wife had given to me for my 50th birthday as a gift. And there was no way I was leaving that behind or out of the family or selling it. And a grandfather clock that was given to me from a friend who actually helped me launch my career. So those two things, even though I brought them from a home into an apartment, and it's suddenly two items that I brought into an apartment has created chaos in the apartment and readjusting furniture and things moving all over the place. But I know I wasn't ready certainly to part with that. And it sounds like what you're talking about with that desk is maybe if you can find a way to hang on to it, I think that would make you feel probably better.
Well, and relating to that, so my parents were divorced when I was young, and my father moved into a place that nobody had ever heard of before in 1969 called Park Slope. he passed away in 91. This is the second time I've been through that. Yeah. But what we did elect to preserve there was essentially his dining room, which he had a brownstone, so he had a very large table. I don't know, was it 5x5 with many, many leaves? And to your point, Chris, I like the piano. We've had real challenges finding a home that would fit that dining room table. But it was the hearth of, you know, right, that we had to preserve, and right, where we enjoyed so much time and shared so many great memories sitting around the table.
Do you want to plug your company, Stephen?
Yeah, tell us a bit about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have a small boutique consulting firm. It's Human Resource Alignment Consulting. Rick mentioned I'm a psychologist. I'm an industrial psychologist. So what I do, a lot of people say, what's that? What I do is I assess people's fit for roles. I do executive coaching, usually with senior level executives. And I also work with human resource departments on building out people processes and people metrics.
Wow. I would say you're the first industrial psychologist I've ever met. Certainly the first guest on the show.
Not an uncommon response. And a lot of people are like, so what does that mean? Do you like analyze machines? And
Not yet anyway, but with the AI, who knows? Maybe you will be.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, or analyze people being machines in some cases, maybe.
So how is the process of cleaning out the house you grew up going, and how far along are you, and what have you learned? What do you regret? What is a takeaway for any of us who is going to have to deal with this or already dealing with it?
Well, I'm almost done with this part of the process. And as I said, it's been a difficult part of the process. What I've learned, I mean, different people, I guess, have different problems, different challenges with stuff and how to deal with stuff, as Carlin so rightly pointed out and so humorously pointed out. I don't know, I suppose. And my father's stuff, incidentally, so I mentioned he passed away in 91. I emptied his house in 95. It was only within the last 6 months that I finally took his stuff out of my basement in Chicago and dealt with it. You know, and I've got to ask why. You know, part of it is, you know, a tendency maybe to procrastinate, kick the can down the road. That's very difficult. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how a lot of people put things in storage and pay, you know, a lot of money to keep things in storage. And then eventually, you know, get rid of them, or the children get rid of them, you know, find a can, get rid of them. But part of it, I think, is our attempt to preserve, these artifacts of our history, almost like our own personal museum, and to carry that metaphor a little further, to preserve the stage sets on which we grew up, and the props associated with it. And I suppose there's value in that. But having done this twice, the second time I'm realizing it's time to let go of things like the little yellow table and preserve.
Well, as we titled the show, you can't take it with you.
That's right.
But I think in the long run, I mean, I'm still feeling repercussions because it's not even been a month since that's happened. My wife passed away 5 years, so I kind of sat on that scenario before I really dug into it. But there's, as each day goes by, there's a little bit more of a sense actually of relief that it's over. There's no going back to that. Those things are now have been moved to a certain place and or out of my life completely. And there's an acceptance but just like anything else, it's still a process. There are good days and bad days when how I feel about it. But I think in the long run, Stephen, you will certainly feel better, as I'm sure you experienced from the first time, but from this time around, as time goes on, I think it'll get easier for you. I hope.
Yeah, I think so. And it's over. But it's over. But one thing that we do all take, you know, with us for the rest of our lives, which is most important, is not the stuff. It's memories. It's what's in our, you know, hearts, minds, spirits, and values.
Yeah.
And that's certainly not the stuff.
Right. Do you feel, one last question, because I remember do you feel now as you empty out the home more and more that, because to me, there's a difference between a home and a house. A house is a structure. It's a vessel. A home is all of the energy and what happened inside of that, from all the living beings in that home. Do you feel like right in front of you in those last several weeks you've been doing this, is it going from a home to a house? Is it starting to feel less like a home to you or not?
That's interesting. It is. It's gone through a metamorphosis. It's transformed. I said to somebody yesterday, asked me, would you live here? You know, I do plan on returning to New York, probably in a year or two. The person said, well, why not live here? And I said, it's time to move on. But that said, today, I sent photographs to my wife of things that I'm doing in the house that make it very, very different. And to your point, Chris, it's almost at this point more of it's a new house. It's been redefined, and it's still very much home, but to a large extent, it does feel like a new house.
Yeah,
it's hey, Chris, you may have a new client moving forward because
that's right.
Stephen is coming back to New York. You may have to find an apartment for him to bring Linda. And Izzy, his beautiful daughter, who is a recent college graduate.
Oh, congratulations.
Now living, where is she? She's in Manhattan, right, Stephen?
Chelsea.
Right. Izzy, my cousin.
All right.
My second cousin. I can't believe it. God, we're all getting old. We're all middle-aged warriors.
Speak for yourself. That's right. Speak for yourself. But Stephen, again, I want to say thank you so much for spending some time with us, sharing your experience, because I think it's something that a lot more people experience and struggle with, but don't even talk about it very much. But I think it helps sometimes. It's cathartic to speak to other people and share this type of experience, because it is sadly a fact of life, and it's another chapter in terms of moving on and moving forward. But again, my condolences to you for your loss, and hopefully when you come to New York, we'll get to see you.
Well, I look forward to that possibility, and hopefully we'll do that. Yes, thank you.
And cuz I will speak to you soon, okay?
Oh, sounds great. Great speaking with you guys. Thank you.
Great. I'm so glad we had a chance to catch up, and thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today.
My pleasure.
Wow, I thought you were a smart guy, but now I find out that, you know, you're at the bottom end of the dream pool in the Steinhaus family.
No question about it. You know what? Cousins. Wasn't that the Patty Duke song?
Right.
I come from a really good stock of bright people, and somehow my brother and I ended up working in radio.
Okay.
Like the bastard stepchild.
There are always some black sheep. There are always black sheep in the family. But really want to thank Stephen for taking some time out, because obviously this has been an arduous task in what he's doing. We've been talking about this now on and off in the last couple of shows, but it was interesting to hear firsthand from somebody. And that home, he was talking 60 plus years of living there.
And accumulation.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. I mean, I cannot imagine. I mean, he started back in April, he was saying. So, and now it's early June. So it's, I'm glad he took some time, because I think a lot of people do deal with this issue and sometimes panic and don't think they're ever going to get to the end.
And, you know what? It's why We've Got Junk was invented, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hate to refer to people's possessions as junk, but the truth is, you know, when does it become something of value? When is one man's junk another man's treasure, right? Yeah.
Well, you know, and again, it's all part of an experience of life that we have to go through at different times and different places with different people. Everybody's story is always a little bit different, but
and you ain't taking it with you.
Yeah, I want to thank you for sharing that story. Any last thoughts before we're going to actually meet up a little bit later on tonight for those of you who care, because it's going to be days later than yours. But Rick and I are actually having a guys' night out dinner.
Oh my God! Yeah. So the girls got to work tonight.
Yes, we'll see what cheapo place we can come up with.
Valerie felt bad, and she said, "See if your friend Chris is available. Maybe you guys can go have, you know, dinner." And I said, "That would be great." I don't have to wait for Valerie to say I'm busy. So I'm happy to have dinner with you. And by the way, this one's on me.
Well, we'll see.
Just for the record.
In that case, I'm going to change my mind when we're eating. But anyway, that's it for me here. Again, everybody continue to listen. We're slowly growing our audience, but we need to grow and continue to grow on the B-Lee Podcast Network. It's Middle Age Warriors, Rick Summers, Chris Cimino. Thanks for stopping by. Sunshine always.
Middle Age Warriors was conceived by us, Chris and Rick, over a lot of glasses of wine, and I think we're going to move to tequila soon. Mm-hmm. Over many, many years, produced partially at the Cimino Studios New York City office. Member FDIC, doesn't that sound impressive?
I wish I was a bank.
Thank you to Zoom for existing. Executive producer, that guy, Chris Cimino. Consulting producer, IT advisory by Valerie Smaldone. We were engineered by Chris. A lot of stuff was written by me. I'm Rick. Have a good one, okay? And we'll see you soon on Middle Age Warriors. Be good, feel good.
Once again, Middle Age Warriors brought to you by Bet Online. Music!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save.